Hi, my name's Davey Olson. I'm a graduate student at Utah State University, working on my master's degree. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about our organic agriculture field trial, where we're looking at the fertility carryover effect of compost. So firstly, we know organic farmers use compost as part of their fertility plan. Over-application of compost has consequences, both economic and also nutrient excess consequences as well, particular soil phosphorus, things like that. And we know that compost mineralizes slowly, and this happens over many years. So there is a carryover effect from year to year. So if we're to manage our soil fertility, we need to take into account this carryover as part of our fertility plan. So this research is basically looking at the carryover of compost. And the first thing we wanted to do was develop and test a method to determine carryover on organic land, certified land. We want to quantify compost carryover against new applications of the compost and describe soil fertility in terms of compost equivalence. So this is really something quite different because compost carryover has been quantified many times, usually on conventional land and usually expressed in terms of nitrogen fertilizer equivalents. Now, because we're an organic system, we can't look at fertilizers or equivalent fertilizers. So we need to think of a different methodology. So we're comparing our carryover to new applications of the compost from year to year. And I'll talk a little bit I'll talk a little bit more about the methodology in just a moment. So we want to express our carryover as a decay series from year to year. And we'll also be looking at nitrogen mineralization as well. We recognize that that's an important factor in this and try to correlate that with this carryover as well. Finally, we're looking at persistence of compost in the soil and the residence time of compost as well. So we have a four-year field trial. It's on organically certified land. I should mention that this was originally designed as a three-year trial. It's been extended an extra year. Unfortunately, we had a kind of a crummy third year. 2010 wasn't so good. We had some exceptional weather events, some bad windstorms that knocked out a lot of our crops and things like that. So we didn't see a whole lot of a treatment response in 2010. So we've got an extra year. We grow field corn and squash in a rotation. We have a winter wheat cover crop. This is an irrigated system. And we have five treatment rates, compost treatment rates, 0, 10, 20, 30, and 40 tonnes per hectare. And primarily, we're looking at yields to determine our carryover from year to year. Additionally, we've investigated nitrogen mineralization through an incubation experiment in the lab. And we're also looking at the residence time of compost in the soil by looking at FTIR analysis, Fourier transform, infrared spectroscopy analysis, to try to get at the heart of that. So decay series methodology, let me explain quickly how this is designed and how we achieve, how we calculate our carryover from year to year. Importantly, plots receive compost only once during this experiment. Some plots receive compost for the first time every year. And we use the yields from these current compost plots. We use those yields to serve as benchmarks from which to calculate carryover for the other carryover plots that receive compost in previous years. Basically, we're fitting a model to yield and compost rate, and we're using that model to calculate what would be the compost rate required to achieve the yields of one of these carryover plots. So eventually, we're looking at soil fertility in terms of a new unit, which we term compost equivalence. And we're looking at soil fertility, like this equation says. It should be something like soil fertility is equal to, well, what compost rate did we apply this year? Plus it's equal to a proportion of whatever we applied last year, plus a proportion of the year before as well. So we can see that's incorporating that carryover from year to year to year. So our term compost equivalence, we can think of that as if, for example, we added 10 units of compost this year, perhaps that's really equivalent to 20 units, 30 units, when we take into account the carryover from previous years as well. And importantly, we're thinking about soil fertility not just in terms of nitrogen. This term of compost equivalence is incorporating much more than just nitrogen, much more than just nutrient carryover. It's also incorporating the other non-nutrient benefits that compost supplies. Things like increasing water capacity of the soil, aggregate stability, and things like that as well. So this is our field site. We're in Logan in Utah. We're on a western soil. It's a silt loam. It's a calcareous soil, high pH soil. The compost we're using is available locally. It's produced at a commercial compost facility. It's composted steer manure, C to N of about 11 to 1 on that, and about 1.9% nitrogen. So you can see there the layout of the plots is about 80 plots in total. So let's look at a quick example of how we're calculating our decay terms from 1 year to the next. And if we just have, say, three plots here, plot A receiving compost in 2011, plot B in 2010, and plot C in 2009. So the yields from our current year compost are acting as a benchmark. So in this case, plot A, our yield was 100. That's going to be our benchmark from which to calculate the carryover of these other plots. So to determine the first term in our decay series, we want to find out what was the carryover in plot B from 2010 to 2011. Well, we can see the yield was 50. It was half that of the current year compost yield of 100. So what was the carryover from 2010, from that 40 units applied? What proportion of that carried over into 2011 and produced that 50 unit yield? Well, it was half. 20 units of compost carried over into 2011. Gives us our decay term of 0.5. So once we set this up and we determine a few years of decay terms, this is a valuable tool in looking forward and thinking about managing our fertility, because we can think, well, how do we maintain this 100 unit yield, for example? What do we have to do to plot A next year to maintain a 100 unit yield? Well, if we consider, well, our first series in the decay term is 0.5. We expect 20 units of that compost to carry over into 2012. So we need only add another 20 units. So we have a compost equivalent, soil fertility compost equivalent of 40 units next year. Although we've only really added 20 units, we've accounted for that carryover effect from the year to year. So you can see this is important for organic growers, thinking about not over-applying their compost, also thinking about just saving money, the economic benefits of this as well. So let's have a look at some of the data that we've collected over the last few years. Here's a graph that shows yield against compost rate. We can see that the black line there is plots that received compost in 2010. The red line is plots that received compost in 2009, and the blue line in 2008. The dashed line at the bottom there is our control plots. They received no compost over the course of the experiment. So first thing to notice is plots that received compost generally yielded higher than plots that didn't. The other important thing to notice is there is no 2011 curve. As I said, we had a tough year. This is an extension of what's really a three-year project. We're unable to add compost in 2011. So we don't have a first year decay term to calculate. So what we're looking at here is second and third year decay. So interestingly, the curves are pretty similar, and you can see that with the error bars there. There's a lot of overlap in yield. When we apply our methodology, we find our second year decay is 0.93 and our third year decay is 0.71. What this is really telling us is after 2 years, there's a persistent residual compost carryover after that period. There's not a lot of mineralization going on. These curves are pretty similar. The yields are pretty similar. So once we get to 2 and 3 years, and we speculate 4 years, we'll find that out next year, I guess, there's a pretty gradual, pretty persistent residual effect of this compost in the soil. So that prompted us to see if we could analyse this in a different way. So we took some of our soils and we ran it through this FTIR analysis. Basically, Fourier transform infrared spectroscopy. It's a methodology where infrared radiation is used. Particular molecules absorb this radiation at different frequencies and produce a spectra, an absorbent spectra, and from that we're able to identify the structural information about a particular molecule. So just quickly, we used whole soils in our FTIR analysis. They were unfractionated soils, bulk soils, from a shallow depth, 0 to 10 centimetres. We just looked at the high rate treatments, the 40 tonne per hectare treatments, and we tested the compost by itself. We tested soils where compost had been applied 1, 2, or 3 years previously as well. So this is what it looks like. When we did that, we can see here firstly absorbance versus the frequency, the wave numbers there. Blue line shows the compost just by itself, and the red line at the bottom is bulk soil. Now, you'll notice there's no scale on the absorbance axis there. When the FTIR prints this out, the lines are over the top of each other. So I've just separated them, pulled one above the other, just for visual clarity here. But it's kind of interesting because what we first notice is they're really different. The spectra of the compost is quite different in about the range of 2,000 there. You can see those really two pronounced peaks, which just aren't prominent or just aren't visible in that bulk soil. So the big question is, well, what happens if you apply compost to the soil? Will you still see these peaks? And then what happens 2 years after and 3 years after and maybe 4 years after? Will we still be able to see the signature of compost in the soil? Yeah, we can. Interestingly enough, here we go, 2008, 9 and 10, plots that received compost in those years. And you can see there is that compost signature, those two distinct peaks in that region around 2000 there, and it's not present in that in the control soil down the bottom. We still have a lot of work to do with FTIR. This is just very preliminary, and we've got a lot of ideas of trying to figure out exactly what this means and how we can amplify these signatures as well. But it confirms to us that yes, there is a residual persistent fraction of the compost that's staying in the soil, and we can see it in the soil after a one-time only application in an irrigated system 2-3 years afterwards, after application. Our design has worked, it's feasible. We have been able to calculate carryover on organic certified land. There is this residual persistent effect. There was a bit of variability and a bit of error as well in there. We have a lot of work going forward. We're going to do a lot of fractionation work with the soils, try to figure out just where this persistent compost carryover, which fraction of the soil is it in? Is that subject to management or things like that? We have a lot of work to do with nitrogen as well. We're still working with that data too to try to correlate that with carryover. And I just mentioned quickly that going forward, we probably need to include a legume cover crop as well. We notice a little bit of of deficiency, nitrogen deficiency in our crops too. I'd just like to acknowledge and thank my committee members, Dr. Reeve, Dr. Drost, Dr. Jacobson. Also, thank you to Dr. Endelman for all of his hard work and continued support, Alicia Campbell, Jeff Sladen, and funding provided by the Utah Agricultural Experiment Station. Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for questions right now. However, we have a vacant session, I believe. We have a missing speaker, the third speaker this afternoon. So if you're interested, please stay around and Davey will be here to answer questions. So thank you very much.